listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
There has been a culture in Washington.
Tony Hayward has done a great job for the
The school counseling faculty has decided that my views are not acceptable.
Bull crap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is a show where truth is our bitch and we will go just about anywhere. I say just about anywhere to reveal it to you. We'll take you through the looking glass. We'll take you to the other side of this thing called talk radio. Coming up, Tony Hayward says he was demonized over the oil slick Jack Tatum has died, the former defensive back of the Oakland Raiders, age of 61. Bobby Dooley will be on in just a moment to talk with us about that. Plus, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights says ladies' night at bars is a discriminatory celebration of sorts. That's right, ladies' night at bars. That's the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. Now, before we get all excited, it's not a court. It's not a federal agency. It's the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. So that could very well mean absolutely nothing. We'll look into it, though, for you, before you start flipping out. You know, I'm not going to have my ladies' night. I'm not going to have my specials. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. What are you looking at, bud?
What do you mean special?
The special drink prices.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
877-876-PHIL. Washington, D.C. is in our affiliate spotlight tonight, and that is WTNT 570 AM is where we're heard in the D.C. area. And in Burley, Idaho, KBAR 1230 AM, both stations, great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. We also have, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com, which is the interactive new media adjunct to our radio show. You go to philhendryshow.com. You can watch live streaming video of our show right now and listen to a live audio stream as well. PhilHendryShow.com. You can listen to our archives that are over there. We have a five-day video archive. You can download not only every day's show, you can download stuff from our archives. And starting next week, of course, we begin our podcasts, both podcasts of our archive material and podcasts of our new show at iTunes. And that is for backstage pass holders. So get over to the website, get a BSP, and get on board for those podcasts. 877-876-PHIL. And as we mentioned, the great defensive back of the Oakland Raiders, Jack Tatum, has died. Now, one of the reasons why we're probably focusing a little more on the passing of this particular football player than on another particular football player, for that matter, is because Jack Tatum was a controversial figure, and he played pro football at a time when it was coming into its own on Monday Night Football. It was getting even more popular than it was in the 60s, and it was pretty damn popular. Jack Tatum was also involved in a number of incidents on field. He was a hard-hitting, hard-sticking defensive back. The incident that most people know is the August 12th, 1978 preseason game in which he hit Darryl Stingley, a wide receiver, with his helmet in the back. And Darryl Stingley wound up suffering a severed fourth and fifth vertebrae, and he was paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western States Homeowners Association. Good evening, Bobby.
Well, good evening, Phil.
And, you know, you are a Homeowners Association president. You're a PTO president. You have three sons and a husband. You have fashion shows. And you're a football fan.
Well, I am. I've been a football fan since probably I was 9 or 10. My father was a very big fan, and that was how we spent our Sundays. And my father was a very big Oakland Raiders fan. Even though I grew up in Southern California, he enjoyed watching the Oakland Raiders because my dad was from the Bay Area originally. And so we did spend a lot of time watching football.
And in particular, the Raiders?
In particular, the Oakland Raiders, that's right.
So when you hear about Jack Tatum passing, tell me your thoughts, your feelings, your memories of Jack Tatum.
Well, the first thing that I think of, Phil, when I think about Jack Tatum is that he was made into a villain.
You don't think he deserved that?
No, I do not think he deserved it at all. Jack Tatum was a great football player. He played very hard. Jack Tatum tackled very ferociously. He hit people very hard. He was very proud and should be very proud of the fact that wide receivers were afraid of him, and so they could not concentrate.
And what of this incident? I think we should bring this up, even though it is the occasion of the man's passing, and so we do want to be respectful, you know.
Well, I think, Phil, that that's the most important thing. People love to bring up the Daryl Stingley hit. I'm happy to talk about it, but I think it is not respectful of a man who has just passed on, who meant so much to the Oakland Raiders football team, to talk of him in a negative term, a negative way like that.
Well, he did leave a man paralyzed, Bobby. And before you respond, he hit Daryl Stingley in that preseason game and left this man paralyzed from the neck down. Now, my understanding, and maybe you have more information, my understanding is that Daryl Stingley and Jack Tatum never spoke, and Jack Tatum never apologized.
Well, no, that's not entirely true. Jack Tatum wanted to speak to Daryl Stingley, but he was kept from speaking to Daryl Stingley by Daryl Stingley's family. Now, let me explain what happened in August of 78 and the kind of football player that Jack Tatum was. Jack Tatum, like many great players, did not view exhibition games as an exercise in going at half speed. Jack Tatum played every down of football, whether it was in the regular season or whether it was in the preseason, very hard. Joe Namath was the same way. There's a lot of players. And so Daryl Stingley, whether he was going through the motions, I don't know. Whether Daryl Stingley was not concentrating, I don't know. Or whether Daryl Stingley just did not run a very good pass route on that particular play, I don't know the answer still, but I do know that all Jack Tatum did was hit Daryl Stingley the way a football player is supposed to hit another. And I would also like to say he was not flagged for a foul.
Oh, he was not? On that play?
No, he was not. There was no penalty. It was a clean hit. It was a hard hit. And I think a lot of football players who think that, oh, it's a preseason game, I think I'll go out there and just go at half speed. And that's not what happened. And Daryl Stingley was probably, I don't know, you know, wondering about, you know, what he was going to have for dinner that night, or where he parked his Mercedes or something.
Well, let's hold on for a minute. Let's not talk ill of Daryl. Daryl Stingley is no longer with us either, all right? I don't want to be characterizing that man.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, why Daryl Stingley all of a sudden is paralyzed and all these other players absorbed similar hits from Jack Tatum and are not paralyzed?
Well, let's not say, though, that Daryl Stingley was in the back, you know, it was going out on a pass pattern and it was thinking about his Mercedes.
Well, I'd like to know what he was thinking about, but I guess we'll never know.
Well, maybe he was concentrating on the ball. And, you know, a lot of wide receivers will say that they want to stay as relaxed as they can while they're looking for that football. They don't want to tense up, because if they're tense, then they're not going to get as much elevation. Maybe he was relaxed, looking for the ball, trying to get his hands on the ball.
Well, whatever the case may be, Daryl Stingley, I think, could have spoken up and, you know, defended Jack Tatum and said, you know what, I mean, Jack Tatum hit me, and I could have been playing much better, and I was not concentrating, and
but we don't know that that's the case, do we?
We don't, because Daryl Stingley never said anything.
And but we never heard Jack Tatum say, I'm sorry. We never heard any public statement.
Well, Jack Tatum wrote three books, Phil. They Call Me Assassin was the first one. And in that book, he did not apologize, but he was very affected by what happened to Daryl Stingley.
And well, how can you be really affected by what happened to Daryl Stingley and not apologize?
Because I think he knew the business that he was in. He was in the business of professional football, and the people in the seats and the owners and the advertisers, they want to see the Gladiator take to the field. And in the case of a Jack Tatum, who is a very ferocious-looking man, yes, he was black. You know, the idea of this black and silver, black, everything about Tatum, if you look at him in the uniform, it's all very black, you know. you can't even see this. The inside the helmet, it's black.
And because he was a black man, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a black jersey, and I think that that people wanted to see that kind of hitting, and they want to see that kind of sticking. And that's what Jack Tatum gave them.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Bobby Dooley about Jack Tatum, are you and the passing of Jack Tatum, and in 1978, a hit on Daryl Stingley of the New England Patriots put Daryl Stingley in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Are you aware of the fact, Bobby, that Chuck Knoll of the Steelers said that this was a criminal element, that Jack Tatum and George Atkinson, those two backs in particular, those two safeties for the Raiders, were a part of a criminal element in the National Football League?
I think that Chuck Knoll should never have said that, because I think that showed that he was afraid of the Raiders, that his players were afraid of the Raiders, and that that the Raiders were getting to them. And I think that Chuck Knoll saying that, I think that the New England Patriots reacting the way they did, all they did was let everyone know how afraid of the Raiders they were, and how afraid of Jack Tatum they were, and how much the Raiders, and how hard they hit. And it's often been said that you really can't, one professional cannot intimidate another in football.
I've heard that said, yeah.
Well, I think in the case of the Raiders, that is true. I think the Raiders did intimidate people with their physical ability, and in the case of a Jack Tatum, more so. And I just find it really interesting that people, I had an argument with the wife of one of our board members. I said to her, you really don't know anything about football. This is a woman.
This was one of your female friends?
Yeah. And she said, well, I want to learn about it. And I said, why? She said, because I don't know who you think you are, or something like that. A lot of these gals don't like me knowing as much as I do about football, because I'm very fit, I do a lot of working out, I look good, and I also know a lot about football. And so men tend to, talk to me. But this lady was saying to me, the Raiders are mean, or some ridiculous thing. I said, you know what, you don't embarrass yourself. You don't even know what you're talking about.
And this was a woman who was trying to talk football with you?
Yes, another woman. I said to her, I grew up with football. I know all about it. And I told her to get away from me, because she was angering me. But I did tell her, Jack Tatum played football the way you're supposed to play football. And if people get crippled, Phil, then I would suggest to them that they shouldn't have been in football in the first place.
Wow. All right, Bobby. Well, I did ask you on to talk about Jack Tatum. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show about Jack Tatum, the career of the Oakland Raider defensive back who is best known. He passed on, by the way, today at the age of 61. He's best known for a hit on Daryl Stingley, wide receiver with the New England Patriots in 1978, that put Daryl Stingley in a wheelchair for life. And, Bobby, you're saying that that's football, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can't, people are going to... Jack Tatum was a great ball player. And if you're going to cry about people going into wheelchairs, you know what? You better go and get your jacks or your roller skates or something.
All right, we're talking with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Bobby, a mother of three boys and a wife, and she's involved in all kinds of things, and she's a Raider fan, about Jack Tatum. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You already said that.
Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We got Bobby Dooley on the line with us. She is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, president of the Western Estate Parent Teachers Organization. You have fashion shows, and you're a football fan, and you were, in particular, an Oakland Raider fan.
Well, Phil, I was a big Raider fan during the Jack Tatum days. When they came to Los Angeles, we didn't follow them as closely. My kids are big Raider fans, but I do remember the Raiders when I was younger, and I thought that that Oakland Raider team was very exemplary, I think, of what people think of when they think of the Raiders.
All right, Jack Tatum died, and I want to get the story straight here. Jack Tatum, the Pro Bowl safety for the Oakland Raiders, best known for his crushing hit that paralyzed Daryl Stingley in the NFL preseason in 1978, has died. He was 61. He wrote the book The Assassin. Died of a heart attack Tuesday in an Oakland hospital, according to a friend and former Ohio State teammate John Hicks, on August the 12th, 1978, in a preseason game against the New England Patriots. The hard-hitting Tatum slammed into Stingley with his helmet while the receiver was running a pass pattern.
And Phil, that is such a ridiculous line. Slammed into Stingley with his helmet. That's what you tackle people with.
Well, no, not really. I mean, there's a penalty against spearing, don't you? You hit him with a shoulder pad.
You hit him with a combination of the pad and the helmet. But you use what you can, and I will tell you something. Again, he was not penalized for that hit. Paralysis, and this is very difficult for me to say, but football players that are carried off the field on a stretcher, football fans, for some reason, find that exciting. I'm not saying that I do, but that is part of the drama of the game. Dennis Byrd, Reggie Brown, Mike Utley, these are all players, Phil, that suffered either partial or permanent paralysis of one kind or another. It is part of the drama of the game. What Jack Tatum did was play football, and Daryl Stingley was not playing his best football, and so he was hurt. And I'm so grateful to be able to talk to a man about this, because my world is filled with women and...
Well, yeah, but you may be talking to a man, but I'm not necessarily understanding what you're saying. If you're saying to me that paralysis, you know, is a wonderful thing...
No, I'm not saying that paralysis is a wonderful thing. I'm saying that it is part of the excitement of the game to see that. Most people who enjoy football don't play football and have never played football. So you have to understand what their sensibilities are.
Most people that watch football have never played football.
That is correct.
So what are those sensibilities?
Their sensibilities are that they do like to see people get hit badly to the point where they're in a stretcher or on a gurney. Now, I understand football better than most people because my father was a very big fan and he just taught us a lot about the game. Most people don't really know anything about it, and so they do like to see paralysis. My point is, if you got a player in the game that is not smart enough to know how to play against a Jack Tatum, he's going to get paralyzed. It's going to add to the excitement of the fans.
Fans don't necessarily want to see a guy get paralyzed. They want to see him get hit.
Well, they do like to see, though, the man laying there motionless. It is hard to understand. I agree.
You're telling me that football fans like to see a guy laying there, not moving.
Did you ever play football, Phil?
In high school.
All right, well, then you don't, you're not who I'm talking. I'm talking about people that have met most of the men that like football, for instance, have never really played it. They've played touch football or something like that. So when they see a guy laying there motionless, you hear them in the sports bar. All right, where does a Jack Tatum...
When they see a guy laying there motionless, you hear him in a sports bar. If you see a guy laying there motionless, that's a very serious thing. He could be injured, okay? He could be paralyzed.
Right, but the football fan likes that drama. Jack Tatum, Phil, I think, gave them that and more. And George Atkinson gave them that and more. And that's what I try to explain to people when I talk to them about football, whether it is a man or a woman. And there are a lot of men that don't know anything about the game, so I have to, in my own way, explain it to them. And there's a lot of women, too. But that's what Jack Tatum brought to the game. And if you were not strong enough and you were not good enough, then you get out of Jack Tatum's way or you're paralyzed for life. And that means for life. I'm a woman. I understand that about football. Most women don't.
All right, we'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley about the legacy of Jack Tatum. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. But we're talking about football, and we're talking about Jack Tatum.
And Phil, can I interrupt for a moment?
Go ahead.
Because I'm a woman, it doesn't mean that I don't know about football.
No, I understand, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to sound like you're... It is unusual. It is unusual, though, to talk to a woman who knows as much as you do.
Well, that I understand.
And to that end, I was going to ask you, when you get together with your husband, you still watch football with your husband and the kids?
Well, that's just it. I don't do as much as I used to, but I still know a lot about the game. And I do. I'll talk to Steve. I'll talk to friends of his that are over, or sometimes I'll talk to the some of the wives that are over. And it's an interesting dynamic. As a woman, if I show an inordinate amount of knowledge about football, the men will at first find it charming, but then they'll start to argue because it's a little difficult for them to comprehend that a woman knows about football. The women, on the other hand, resent me. They resent me something terrible because I am, as I said, I work out. I've got a nice figure. I dress well. And I'm still young enough to make a lot of them look, I guess, older than their years. And I know about football. So what I present, I think, is a whole package to some men. And to that extent, a lot of women resent it, yeah.
Oh, do they resent it to what point? They don't want to be your friend? Do they argue with you?
Well, they'll try to say, oh, I know about that play. That was a great pass. Or they sound ridiculous, and a lot of times I understand why it is men get impatient with women because a lot of my girlfriends will say, oh, I liked that pass. They'll say something very...
something that you wouldn't hear a football fan say, right?
Exactly, and I'll have to say to them, you really sounded ridiculous. You're going to sound really ridiculous if a real football fan hears you, And Janice really said, well, my husband, he's a fan. I said, no, he's not. No, he's not. Janice is a friend of mine, and her husband is, he's ridiculous. He doesn't know anything about the game, really.
All right, we're going to get to some phone calls here, Bobby, and talk about Jack Tatum. We've heard your take on Jack Tatum, a great player, a guy, in your opinion, who was a hard-hitting ball player, but not overboard. A guy who, was responsible for the hit on Daryl Stingley that eventually put him in a wheelchair. But you say that paralysis is something that football fans expect to see. But you're differentiating between fans and fans who played the game.
Well, fans who played the game, I don't know. But fans want, just like NASCAR fans want to see, eventually they want to see a car involved in a fatality of some kind.
Well, they want to see a wreck,
Well, yeah, they do. But NASCAR fans really want to see a fatality. That is, they want to see a car so destroyed that there is no chance that anyone survived it. And to that end, I think football fans are the same. They want to see that stretcher. They want to see that neck brace. They want that trauma.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call in Redding, California, listening on KCNR. Fernando, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Hey, I want to comment. I'm a big football fan, and I do like to see hard hitting. You appreciate the game, but I can't agree with the fact that most fans want to see somebody at the end of the bunk, or in the midst of playing football, seeing somebody that injured or that severely hurt, they're carried off the field. I don't agree with that. I don't think most football fans.
I think that reflects negatively on the defensive player. As I said to Mr. Hendry, that means therefore that Jack Tatum played his career in vain, and I just don't accept that. I think if we accept a Jack Tatum, then we welcome an injury. We welcome a spinal injury.
We don't welcome a spinal injury. Why would we do that?
Well, I'm glad both of you. We do welcome a spinal injury because we know that that is a Jack Tatum out there playing on defense. And I hope that helps you, sir.
I think you're in a very small minority of people that think that way.
Then you don't like the kind of hard hitting that a Jack Tatum brought to professional football.
That's not true. Because I try to play at a higher level in high school.
Either you like it or you don't.
Hold on for a minute. The gentleman's trying to explain. What do you mean? In other words, if I like Jack Tatum, then I got to look forward to spinal injuries?
I think to say that you like a Jack Tatum, but you don't want to see spinal injuries, is like saying, I love to see the sunshine. I hope it isn't warm today. I don't understand. But I hope I help the gentleman understand.
All right, Fernando, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Solomon in Greensboro, North Carolina. Solomon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes. The way the lady's talking, you see defensive players now, if he was a two-way player and stood a chance of getting hit like that himself, the object is to stop a player and not hurt him and not injure him. Injuring a player.
Well, hold on for a minute, Bobby. I can't hear you. I'm trying to listen to the gentleman.
I'm listening to him, too.
I know, but I can't hear him. Go ahead, Solomon.
Yeah. The object of the defense is to stop an offensive player, not to injure him. And sometimes doing it in the course of that, they get injured. We don't cheer that or like to see it or say that's part of his game.
The object, Jack Tatum, I think, brought to the game that idea that you want to stop him, but you also want him thinking about you on the next play. So that when a Jack Tatum puts his helmet into you, you think about that going back to the huddle, and you think about it when you're going out on another pass route, and you may not be as effective. So I think what Jack Tatum brought to the game was that dimension.
All right, but that still doesn't say that Jack Tatum... true enough, Bobby, but that still doesn't say that Jack Tatum was necessarily looking to hurt people.
Well, you have to hurt someone in order to get them to fear you. And so I think Jack Tatum hurt the opposing wide receivers when he could.
That was the argument. That was the argument against platoon football, that the defensive players, now he goes back to the bench. He's not going to get hit like that.
I understand that. But that was in the 30s. They didn't wear helmets. What I'm saying basically is that Jack Tatum is the kind of football player that when he plays well, people are going to wind up in wheelchairs. I don't think there's any doubt. That doesn't mean that he enjoys it. I'm saying that when Jack Tatum played the game well, and we love to watch Jack Tatum play, people wound up in iron lungs.
Mm-hmm. And people wound up in iron lungs.
Yeah.
I don't understand how
you could say that Jack Tatum was a great player, but on the other hand, I don't like the end result of him hitting people.
People played the game as well as Jack Tatum was as great as was and would stop the opposition as well as he did without... the point of attack was to hurt the person instead of stopping them.
Right.
That's the game.
Well, I think what Jack did is it got them thinking not only about the tackle, but it got them thinking about their future, about
Jack was wrong.
How much insurance were they carrying. Did they really want to stay in this business?
Solomon, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. You're talking about Jack Tatum... when he played the game well, people wound up in iron lungs. Now, that was your quote.
But the point that I'm making...
No, that was your quote, though. That when Jack Tatum played the game well, people wound up in a wheelchair, they wound up in iron lungs, all right? And then you said that he didn't necessarily enjoy it, and that's what the gentleman was asking. So what are you saying?
I'm saying that Jack Tatum knew what put, as my husband Steve says, what
the fannies in the seats.
What puts fannies in the seats? What puts the fannies in the seats of the National Football League? It is a guy like a Jack Tatum who, when he takes the football field, you know that the Special Olympics for someone is not very far behind. And I know.
Oh, my God. That's about the most heartless thing that I could possibly imagine anyone say. The Special Olympics are not far behind.
No, I don't mean...
You're not talking about anybody being mentally retarded.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about people who are walking on the double crutches.
Yeah, in other words, paralysis.
No, not necessarily full.
We're not
talking quad.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're not talking quad. Then what are we talking? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about Jack Tatum, who passed on at the age of 61 from a heart attack. He was a defensive back for the Oakland Raiders. He was described at one point by Chuck Knoll of the Pittsburgh Steelers as part of a criminal element in professional football. Because of a hit on Daryl Stingley, a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, put Daryl Stingley in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Daryl Stingley was paralyzed from the neck down. And was known as a hard-hitting football player. They Call Me Assassin was the name of his book. And, Bobby, you made a point about that Fuqua hit in the Immaculate Reception, right?
Yes. The fact is, Phil, that if Jack Tatum had hit Frenchie Fuqua harder, he would have... There never would have been an Immaculate Reception. The Pittsburgh Steelers never would have won 4 Super Bowls. And we would not really know the names of Terry Bradshaw and Frank O'Hara. If Jack Tatum had really laid into John Fuqua, the tight end for the Steelers, the way he should have, Fuqua would not have gotten up. The football would have not have caromed a mile in the air. It would have just fluttered to the earth. Fuqua might have wound up in a wheelchair. He might have wound up in ICU. He might have wound up, I don't know, you know, Steve and I talk sometimes... These poor men you see that are bald with a scar running up the back of their skull, that might have been John Fuqua. But by God, the Steelers never would have won 4 Super Bowls.
Well, that seems like one hell of a trade-off, I can tell you that.
Well, it might be one hell of a trade-off, but by God, you wouldn't have seen Terry Bradshaw every week there on NFL Reports on Fox. And all of the other things we've had to suffer for year in and year out, if Jack Tatum had put a hit on John Fuqua the way he knew he could, which would have left John Fuqua pedaling a bicycle and delivering flowers. I'm sorry, Phil.
That's about as cold a shot. You know.
I'm sorry, but I've got to say it. John Fuqua, if he'd been hit properly, would be pedaling a bicycle delivering flowers.
With a ski cap.
Wearing a ski cap, yeah.
877-876-PHIL, Bobby and Steve Dooley talking about Jack Tatum on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, later on, we got coming up Jeff Dowder.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Jack Tatum of the Oakland Raiders. He played at a time when the Raiders' mystique was probably still very potent. I think in recent years, the idea that everybody's a badass on the football field has pretty much taken off. In recent years, we've had everybody, you know, from hockey teams to basketball teams to rollerblade teams. Everyone's got some rep for being a badass. But back in the day, when football, baseball, basketball, all of those sports were still played by All-Americans, played by athletes, played by guys that went to bed early and, you know, and got up early, played by guys who adhered to these old maxim about you can't have sex before you, you know, compete in athletics and all of that. Along came the Oakland Raiders, who drafted players regardless of a personal reputation the player might have. I was often said, Bobby, that Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley are with me. Bobby, with the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, and a woman who knows her football. I heard it said that the Raiders always drafted from USC, Notre Dame, Ohio State, places like that, because Al Davis wanted players that were used to winning.
That's true, and that's where Jack Tatum was from. He played for what he hates at Ohio State. And so Jack Tatum was a player that was used to winning. And Bob Chandler was from USC, and so many players that played for the Raiders were former Notre Dame players. John Matuszak played at Notre Dame. And Al Davis wanted players that were used to winning. He wanted players that were used to winning championships. He wanted players that would get angry if they didn't win. And in the case of a Jack Tatum, he did what he had to do to win football games. And if that meant that he left someone bloody, if it meant that he put a man in a wheelchair and never apologized for it.
Well, you know, Jack Tatum, I heard, wanted to get together with Daryl Stingley, but it never happened because of Stingley's family.
That's what I heard, too, yeah.
And so, but he never did apologize.
Well, Daryl Stingley said it didn't matter to him that he'd forgiven Jack and that he recognized that Jack Tatum would want to, whatever he was going to say to Daryl Stingley, he would say to him face to face. But beyond that, Jack Tatum didn't apologize because he didn't have to. That's just the way football should be played.
When you're talking with friends and you're talking with family and you're talking to, say, other women, and you talk to them about your philosophy of football, which is basically people like to see those hard hits, and if somebody goes off with a neck brace on, a possible paralysis, fans like that. What do they say?
A lot of the women try to act as if they're real hardcore fans, too, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I know that. And I'll look at them and I'll just look them up and down and I'll say, you know what, you're not even close to understanding what... I make sure that I let the girls know that I'm the woman that knows about football. And if they're going to pretend like they can, you know, they can keep up with my game, then I have to. The men, on the other hand, can be intimidated because I know more about football than most men that I talk to, especially about the Raiders and a lot of the stuff we're talking about right now.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Jack Tatum, dead at the age of 61. We're talking with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from Western Estates. Here is John in Cincinnati. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't think any true football fan wants to see anybody hurt one way or the other. I think it's insanity to see that.
Based
you want to see hard-hitting football.
Based on what experience?
On what experience watching football? Yeah. I'm 70 years old. I think that nobody, like in Cincinnati, they had Carson Palmer got hit by a guy from Pittsburgh. And Cincinnati fans complained that Carson Palmer, it was done on purpose. I think things happen, people get hit hard, but I don't think any football player or any football fan really wants to hurt somebody else. I think that's totally insanity for anybody to feel that way or say that, to see they want to see somebody lay on the field hurt.
You know, as a Cincinnati Bengal fan, you know that you want to see Steelers get hurt.
No, I don't.
No.
I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I want to see good, strong football. I like to see hard hitting.
What is good,
I like to see the
football
game played well, the technique played well, but nobody get hurt.
And what is hard hitting? If you like to see hard hitting, and then you say you don't want to see people get hurt, that's mutually exclusive.
No, you can see technique and hard hitting and not get hurt. Paralyzed. I think if you're going to go out to see somebody get paralyzed, you have to be nuts.
If you see a good hit, if you see a hit that is textbook put on a receiver by a defensive back, you're going to see an iron lung at some point.
Not necessarily. It does happen because the body can only...
Not necessarily. Well, let me ask you, Bobby. Bobby, you say that good football, textbook football, like what John is talking about, means iron lung. What is it with you and iron lungs?
I'm trying to get this into people's heads that good football often results in paralysis. And that doesn't mean that the man that made the hit is a bad man. In the case of a Jack Tatum, he's a very good football player. He made wide receivers remember him. And he put one in a wheelchair. Is that bad football or good football, John?
By him putting one in a wheelchair, I don't think he necessarily. I don't think he meant to put anybody in a wheelchair.
No, I didn't.
I don't think he necessarily wanted to hurt that person.
Is
that
good
football to put somebody in a wheelchair? It's sometimes that things happen, but I don't think it should be intentional, and I don't think any fan should say, "I want to see somebody in a wheelchair." Give me a break.
I love
people,
it. I love it.
You have the mentality of the people who drive down the street, see an accident, and stop and stare and hoping that something goofy will happen. That's a sick mentality. You need to talk to a psychiatrist.
I love it. I love it, and I love it so.
Well, to see somebody put an iron lung means you need to talk to somebody. You've got a mental problem.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a question. Jack Tatum, good football, bad football?
He's a good football player, no question about it.
Okay.
But to see Ben
Darryl Stingley being in a wheelchair is good.
No, it's not good.
Yes, he said it was good. You said Darryl Stingley in a wheelchair is good.
No, he did not say it was good.
Phil Henry Show.